Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Today is a premiere of our second season, and oh man, do we have a special guest to kick us off. We have author, speaker, and social media expert Ashley Morgan Jackson joining us on the show. Ashley works full-time for Proverbs 31 Ministries and has ministered to her own online community for over 10 years. She's passionate about women learning to let go of the lie that they have to perform for God's love and instead realizing that they can receive His love just as they are, which is exactly what we discuss in this episode as we talk about her first and newly published book, Tired of Trying. Ashley is a joy and such a delight to talk to, and I think you'll find our conversation to be very encouraging for the souls who need it. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. I just kind of wanted to tell you that I've been following you for many years, and I've actually remember when you had like only a couple thousand followers and I was following along with you, and then all of a sudden you just shot up and I was like, oh wow, this is so cool. This is like exciting to see how God has grown your platform, and then I don't know, just seeing all the creative ways that you're able to use social media. I feel like you do really well with following the trends. I am still struggling with that. So
it is hard because they change like so fast.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is. And I am not a video person. Like, I mean, I wasn't, I guess, a photo person either when I started and got a hold of that. But like videos for some reason just take a lot more work. And I'm like, oh, do I really have to do this?
I know. And I kind of figured it out on Instagram, but the other platforms I'm like,
Hey, did you start a Threads account?
I did, yeah.
Okay. What is that like? I'm like a little hesitant to start it.
So, I mean, it's very Twitter-esque. Yeah. I get kind of like in my feelings when I like am reading a bunch of other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just go on and like, I'll take, you know, parts of captions from something else and just throw them up there. But we'll see if it like people end up staying, you know, yeah, or if it kind of dies out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I heard from one person that like, if you deleted Threads, you'd have to delete your entire Instagram account.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know if I want to start a Threads account.
That's so smart. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I was like, I was trying to be like quirky and like whatever over there at first. I'm like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know what, if other people like learn to trust it and it's good, I might end up getting on there just for the sake of splendor and stuff. Cause that would probably be the only one that I would use it for, but okay. Yeah, social media, not my favorite, but like I said, you do really well. So could you just share a little bit about yourself for our listeners who are tuning in?
Yeah. So I am a mom, I guess, first of all, a wife, and my kids are 13 and my second son is going to turn 10 in a couple of weeks, which is crazy. we've been living in Charlotte for almost 4 years now, and I work for Proverbs 31 Ministries on their social media team. So that's where that comes from. I don't know what else about me.
There's a lot more about you. I'm sure that they'll, once we share your handle and everything at the end, people will follow and flock to you and learn more about you. But you are also an author. You wrote Tired of Trying. Is this your first book?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I honestly could not put it down as soon as I started it. And once I started reading even just the foreword or the prologue or whatever, I was thinking like, I know exactly
who needs to read this. I've already told a couple people about it. I said, you need to pre-order it or get it when it's out in the bookstores, because I know that it's almost like you're able to share a lot of your internal dialogue for those who maybe don't know how to express it. And so I'm really excited for us to talk about this and for them to read it as well. But what is your hope for those who purchase your book? What's it about?
So I hope that it's really an encouragement for people to know that God is not more in love with a future, more holy version of ourselves. He loves us fully now. And I think I really struggled with believing that. I thought maybe once I was better than I was or who I wish I was, that God would love me more, which is so silly, like when you think about it. But I think we say things that we believe theologically, and then in reality, we kind of live in a different way. And I guess I would also hope that people will see that wrestling is a part of what God uses to grow us spiritually. And we usually think that God only does things that are nice and easy and all those things. But sometimes God allows the hard things in order to bring that growth, that painful growth that we don't we want the growth. We don't like the pain that comes with the growth.
Right.
So those are my big two hopes for it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I guess obviously to me, but since I've read it, but Tired of Trying, you start off with a very personal testimony, and how I think it might have catapulted, or maybe it was just a part of a story that you wanted to share, and how you realized you were tired of trying. Do you mind just sharing a little bit about your story and when you realized that moment that you were tired?
Yeah. So I grew up a good girl and I loved following all the rules and being involved in everything. And I was the one that was kind of, they went to for the help or the advice or what have you. I was just in the mix. And what I didn't realize is that I had come to a place where that was my identity. What I did for him was my identity. And so then I was thrown into a different season where I got married and I had a baby and I quit my job, which was at a church. And all of a sudden that identity was rocked. And I was struggling with postpartum depression and anxiety. Didn't know that for like several years. I just thought I was the worst mother. And so I thought I was the worst mother on this hand. Fairly new marriage, and my husband's thinking, who is this lady that I'm now dealing with, on top of feeling almost a bit of rejection from the role and the identity that I had previously found comfort in. And I felt like I was flailing. I don't know what's going on. Why is God allowing this? What is happening? And I'm, you know, as someone who's known God for a long time, you know the verses and you know the prayers, and it just wasn't quote unquote working anymore. And I almost resented when people would like throw a Bible verse at me. I'm like, I know that. It's like, it's different between knowing and it changing or something about our situation. And so that was the process that the Lord took me through. I don't know about you, but I always get where I am like, can you just tell me the lesson so I can?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Just give me the lesson. I'm happy to learn it at any point. So we can move on, you know?
I remember a time when I was, and I've shared about this before with my listeners, but I was severely depressed when I was in college. And like you were saying, like people would kind of like, they're praying for me, they're sharing Bible verses, and that didn't help. And I was like, I was getting frustrated. And it was a moment where, I mean, the Lord had to undo a lot of like distrust in him and all that stuff and the anger I felt towards him. But I honestly was like, how do I get out? I don't see an end to this. I don't know how to get out. And, you know, you mention in your book that in your upbringing, I think it's similar to mine and other people's as well, that with like the good girl kind of persona that we have, that it's almost as though the church unknowingly kind of places an expectation that we need to strive to be perfect. And so I'm kind of curious how you were able to kind of realize that and how you were able to kind of forgive yourself and like knowing like I don't have to be perfect, and if that helped you at all in overcoming your exhaustion with trying to be the good, perfect Christian.
Yeah. I don't know if the Lord just dealt with me this way because he knew I would not give up easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it felt like he like it wasn't an option for me. It was ripped out, you know? And so for me, realizing that I was grasping for all of this, who am I outside of this performance? You know, what I didn't realize was that I was so used to the pats on the back and the validation that came from what the church leadership or whatever that was. I was a missionary for a while and everyone was like, oh yes, you know, good for you. And now I was just a hot mess crying on the floor every day. And so I think like you were saying it, this like feeling of frustration that, okay, well, this is what I got now. I'm a hot mess. I got nothing to give. Do you still want me, Lord? And realizing that in my mind, I think I had this vision of God on the outside, like crossed arms, toe tapping. Like if when you get it together, we'll get things moving. We'll have blessings, you know. And instead, in that place where I knew I couldn't fix myself, and it was lasting way longer than I ever wanted, and I found that instead he was in the ashes with me, and he was a lot more patient with me than I was with myself. He wasn't in a rush. He knew that this was the process that I needed. I was in a rush to get out of there. But I think learning to trust his love for me when I had nothing to give back to him was a huge process for me.
Yeah, I think you kind of allude to there is kind of a wrestling with just what we used to think about ourselves and who God is having us become. But you do center the book with a study on Jacob and his wrestling with the Lord. So could you share why you chose this specific passage and how you related your own story of pain and suffering with Jacob's?
Yeah. So as I was realizing that there was this wrestling analogy in scripture, I related to that feeling. Yeah. And obviously we're not, you know, physically doing that with the Lord, but it felt like sometimes it feels like you're being beaten up in your spirit. And so there was a few things that I saw in that Genesis 32 verses. And one was that this was actually the answer to Jacob's prayer. God could have answered it in any number of ways. He could have said, oh, it's going to all work out with Esau. No, it's going to be fine. He didn't do that. He like literally showed up and was like, headlock, you know? And I think it's unexpected, but at the same time, it was that God knew that he needed to be challenged in a way where he was faced with what, like his need to surrender. That he was always known as Jacob the cheater, and he was always trying to manipulate and get the blessing that he knew was his from his birth. He knew it was his, but he was trying to get it himself. And the Lord held him and said, no. And then the whole process of seeing God rename him in that wrestle to Israel, that means, you know, to wrestle with God and man and to overcome. And then to walk away blessed by the only one who could actually give that blessing. And it came from holding on through probably one of the hardest times of his life. And so that immediately resonated with me. Because I feel like the Lord does come in these times where he challenges us and he's like, I want to tell you who you really are. But it might take a little while and it might hurt a little bad.
Hey everyone, if you are new to our show, you might not know that this podcast is part of our ministry, Splendor Magazine. Splendor is a biannual Christian women's magazine, but our focus doesn't just center around a certain niche as other Christian women's magazines might, but the content centers around the different passions that women have in order to help encourage, empower, and equip women to use those passions to glorify God and to make disciples in their field. We have articles that range from home and living to business and beyond.
beyond, as well as special features like The Deborah Woman, where we interview someone we see in the world using their gifts to impact the world around them. In our fall issue, our Deborah Woman is Mo Issam. Mo and her husband started Fifth Wheel Missions, where her family of six lives an RV life, mobilized on mission for the gospel. Mo encourages others to live boldly for the gospel, and her testimony is a wonderful one that you have the opportunity to read about in our next issue. We want you to know that you are an integral part of the body of Christ, and you have gifts and talents that God wants you to use to help be a part of His will to advance His kingdom. We feel certain that when you read our magazine, you will find content that will empower you to finally pursue God's calling for your life. Pre-orders are available now for our fall issue, and you can use code DIS10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. Or you can subscribe to our biannual subscription to get the best price and ensure you never miss a copy of our magazine. Again, that code is DIS10, D-I-S-10, for 10% off your order of our fall issue. Now let's get back to our conversation with Ashley.
I know that all of us go through a season of wrestling ourselves, but maybe for those who specifically feel like they're tired of trying, and but maybe they don't even realize that they're in that. They just feel all of this turmoil within them. What would you say are some symptoms that we might notice in ourselves if we do find ourselves tired of trying?
Yeah. And both of us have said it already, even just referring to our own situations, and that is frustration. You know, we know something needs to change. We have no idea how to change it. Even if we do recognize maybe this certain thing needs to change, we're like, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. So I think that is one thing. And then admitting or seeing that on some level, God has hurt our feelings. Knowing that God wouldn't do that on purpose, theologically, we know that. But that doesn't take away the fact that, you know, we have this pain and we have to grieve with Him over what He's chosen not to do or is not doing. That's another one. And then what we were also speaking about before, when we can no longer pretend. We're just like, I'm over it. This is how I really feel. I'm not telling one more person that asks me how I'm doing. Fine. I am not fine. Those are three, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So you alluded to this already in terms of like when God hurts your feelings. You write this in your book. It says, when we feel as though God has hurt our feelings, we must be brave enough to take that hurt to Him, to face Him with our pain so He can give us beauty for our ashes. Avoidance, denial, walls of self-protection and apathy are always of not feeling, of denying the deep wound we carry. And the fact that you have a whole chapter on when God hurts our feelings almost seems, I think sacrilegious for some people to say that, you know. It's like, we are not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to say that God hurt our feelings. And I think because we feel that sense of right and wrong of what we can do before the Lord, it's really hard for some people to actually be honest with Him about how we're feeling. And I'm curious, like, what's some advice or like why you think that is, first of all? Maybe I already sort of answered it, but also just what you can share with people and how we can overcome that feeling of not being able to come before the Lord authentically.
Yeah, I think you're so right in what you're saying. It is, even like putting that in the book seemed like, you know, because we know that God is only good and only perfect. And so I think it's just being able to actually say, okay, but when His sovereignty and His goodness and His perfection and love chooses something that hurts me. What we do is that doesn't negate the hurt just because we know He's perfect in everything that He does. And so how do we process that pain with Him rather than starting to resent Him because of it? And He already knows what we think and feel anyways. And so to be honest, I think that is the funny part about us as Christians is that like we know – like we'll tell ourselves like, I can't do or say that, but then like, we'll go tell our best friend, like, I can't believe this. And we don't direct it towards God, but because we know he could have changed yes. something and done something, I think a lot of times that is where it leads to a disconnection from him, or like I said, the resentment and the walking away from him, because we only mm-hmm. think like, this is how love should be. You didn't love me like I thought you should have. Mm-hmm. So I can't trust you anymore. Like you said mm-hmm. about building the trust back. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to figure that out, you know? And I think a couple of things that I might suggest in that, and what God really taught me, was that, of course, we know that grace saves us. And we would never think, I had a big part of this. Yeah. But from salvation on, don't we try so hard? Oh, we try so hard. And we think that we have some kind of big part in changing us. Mm-hmm. And like, there is, of course, obedience and action and all of the things that we have to partake in. But I think what I realized was that frustration, that piece where I see it, but I don't know how to change it or what to do, like taking that to God and saying, okay, this is a problem. This is a pain. I'm actually kind of mad at you. Mm. And that he's not scared of that, because you can't have intimacy with someone that you can't be honest with. You know, we know that with our most intimate relationships. If I had to pretend to be okay around my husband, we would not last long, right? Because then I would feel like he only loves me for the happy, what can I do for you, honey? Yeah, you know, like, because sometimes that's not how I feel. Mm-hmm. And so it creates a barrier. If, of course, when we feel loved in our grossest moments, I think the response is more obedience and more love towards him and more trust, because, oh my goodness, he loves me even in my darkest and grossest moments. To receive that kind of love is the thing that really changes us, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think that's where it's sometimes hard for it to click within us because of that expectation of maybe, you know, once we come, especially for those who've grown up in the church, like we mentioned before, that it's harder for us to actually grasp that feeling of like, how could God love someone as wretched as me, when maybe a lot of us became a Christian at 8 and besides our like temper tantrums, we weren't really that, you know, that bad. So like when we go through these seasons, it's harder for us to know what to do with the pain and feel like we can be comfortable before the Lord with our feelings. But I have said this I work with the high school ministry, and I say to some of the women, I say, you know what? God knows you're mad. He can take it. Like, he may not deserve your anger, but he can take it. And he responds with, as you were saying, like, there's not a lot, there is obedience on our part, but the Holy Spirit is called the helper for a reason, you know? So we need to be able to trust that he will actually help us even in this pain. And so for those who may find themselves in a first time or maybe a continual time of pain, do you think that there's actually purpose that can be found when we are experiencing pain? If so, can you share why?
Well, this is hard to hear at all, because if you're in pain, you're like, I want to hear about any purpose.
Right.
But really, we don't have to look any further than Jesus. And I remember just in those hard times and not understanding why it felt like in my season, God said no to almost everything that we asked. Any relief that we wanted, it seemed like he said no. And so, but he reminded me, I got a no too from God. And that really was like, wow. So he understands what it means to say, God, please, if there's any way, take this from me. But that the only way for salvation to come was through that death and through that pain. And I don't know, of course, what God is doing in every situation. And we know that God's not mean, and that he doesn't do things just to be mean and cause pain. But he, in his sovereignty, again, like, surrender to that sovereignty and trusting him that what he's doing is for some big story that we're just a part of. In our society, you know, we're so taught to, like, I'm the main character, right? Like, and maybe sometimes these things help us to remember, like, I'm not the main character. Jesus is the main character. And also, it gives us this authority in what we've been through. And you can speak to those you minister to because you've been there. It's not like you're just talking just because that sounds like the right thing to say. And so automatically people know they can go to you in the places where you have suffered, because you, God has brought you through and you've seen him be faithful. And I think those are the small, sometimes we have to just shift our mind off of that pain. And sometimes it takes a while. So I think that's okay to tell us, you know, if we're in the process, that's okay. But we're going to keep looking to what are the lessons, what are the good things God's doing in the midst of this. And I know it's not easy. So I'm not trying to say that it is, because I'm sure there's people listening to this that have great suffering. And I don't want to lessen that at all. But God is good to us. And everything that he does is good. And we have to hold on to that sometimes when we don't see it in our actual day to day.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Okay, so with fall just around the corner, I know that one of my favorite things to do is curl up in my love seat by the fire, reading the book du jour, and wearing breathable leggings with a comfortable crew neck sweater. To me, that is the definition of cozy. But finding a truly comfortable crew neck where the material is soft but durable is really difficult to find, especially when most of our shopping is done online nowadays and you can't trust that the product is actually well made. With Elevated Faith, that's one thing I don't have to worry about. All of their apparel is super well made, and when I get those crew neck sweaters, it is soft to the touch. I like them also because everything they create is an opportunity to share the gospel, not to mention that a portion of all their profits are given to different nonprofits around the world, so I know my money is not just being spent, but being donated for a good cause. If your closet is full of clothes, they also have accessories and jewelry you can look into. I actually have this super cute iPhone case from Elevated Faith that says Jesus is life, and it has to be one of my favorite small purchases I've ever made. I know that may sound like I'm exaggerating for the sake of it, but honestly, I look at this case every single day and it makes me smile. I really just love it. And want to save money while you shop Elevated Faith? Use code LYSUMMER15 to get 15% off. That's LYSUMMER, as in the season, 15. Apply that code at checkout and start sharing the gospel one piece of clothing and accessory at a time. Now let's get back to our conversation with Ashley. Well, I think that it's very evident that you have a passion for those who are experiencing suffering, no matter how great or small it may seem to the world or to themselves. What would you share with someone who feels like they're really in the thick of the pain that they're in and are tempted to give up on God?
Well, first of all, I would say, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you're hurting. And I would want them to hear as well that God's not impatient with you in your pain. He's in it with you in that frustration. And I realizing that he wants to be invited into the struggle. He already knows what's going on. And he is, I remember I was particularly mad at my family and other people for not helping me and not having compassion and not understanding what I was going through. And I sent a text once to my entire family. This is in the book. And no one responded. And it was like a cry for help to me. You know, and I just felt that the Lord said I didn't allow them to respond because you already have a savior and it's not them. And I think letting Jesus be our savior again, not just once at some point when we decided to have him save us, but the fact that he is our savior today and tomorrow and the next day, and we are just as desperate as day one, you know.
So you mentioned that you say that what tears us down is ultimately an opportunity for growth. What do you mean by that? And could you give an example of what that looked like for you?
Yeah. So I think like when we think of building something, like if someone was going to build a skyscraper, if you tried to build it on a broken old foundation, it's not going to last. It's not going to stand the winds and all the things it has to go through. So I think that in a way, sometimes the Lord has to disassemble wrong beliefs and wrong thought patterns and replace those things with his truth because of where he's taking us, because of what he has for us in the future. We don't know what giants we might be facing right now in the future. And so we have to be shaken a little bit in these things beforehand so that when these other things come, we're less likely to be shaken. And so that is the opportunity for growth there. Mm. You know, the Lord is so good and so faithful. He's like, I know you, it's hard to let go of this, or even like for our egos to be like, what, I thought I was okay up into this point. And he was like, but I'm so faithful to you that I want to replace this in your life. And so I guess for me, it was the unraveling of what I thought it meant to be a Christian, honestly.
Yeah.
I think I was really an entitled Christian. I thought, hey, I've done all these good things. I have served you. And it seemed like he was blessing other people in front of me with all the things that I was praying for. And I felt at some point along the way, the Lord say, listen, Ash, I don't owe you anything. I've done everything for you when I died on the cross, and everything else is just icing on the cake. And of course he has blessed and he has done so many other things. But I think what that tearing down for me is realizing he is the one that I need. Not all this stuff, not everything going smoothly, not never any financial problems or what have you. And it gives you just a stronger foundation, I guess you can connect to that.
Oh, yeah. That, and I'm glad you said financial situation, just because it ministers to my heart and where I'm at right now. And so I think what you were mentioning in terms of like, there does need to be a lot of tearing down for us. And I think that leads to transformation. And you share in your book that Jacob, after the wrestle, became Israel. And so I think that you do say that transformation and blessing will come if we hold on to God. And we know what that looked like with Jacob, but what did that look like for you?
Yeah. And I know this might not be what everybody wants to hear, but this is the absolute truth. It was literally falling in love with Jesus.
Yes.
And realizing that he was enough. And I even share the story, and this has happened to me multiple times, so many times, where it hurts so bad. I want to be seen. I want to be validated. I share the story in my book about my second baby shower and inviting all of these people, and no one came. Oh, and it was so humiliating and so crushing to be like, oh, okay, I guess no one cares about me. No one cares about my baby. You know, it hurt so bad. And yet in some way, I knew that he was allowing that. And this idea, even this has come back around literally like 2 weekends ago, the verses where it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that hand is so heavy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It feels crushing, you know, but it says in due time, he will lift you up. And we don't get to choose that time, unfortunately. But I think, again, it was this trusting him, and that he actually went, when you trust him like that, and then he brings the proof and he brings the validation, all, it is just like mind-blowing. Oh, I could never have planned that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that blessing is so worth waiting for and holding on for.
Yeah. Amen. And I think that the transformation comes when we declare that we are actually going to fight back and to overcome. no matter how hard and whatever situations, like that baby shower, I would be upset too if no one came. So, yeah. But you mentioned in your book, this is one of my favorite quotes that you wrote. It says, "Conquerors become conquerors by fighting. Overcomers become overcomers by persevering. Warriors become warriors by staying in the battle through both the pain of defeat and the amazing glory of victory. And this, my friend, requires making these choices to endure every day. There is a fight that we need to say that we actually do need to fight." There, I know that there are some people who are so tired and don't even feel like they want to fight, or maybe they don't want to fight because they almost like being in the situation that they're in. Maybe they can't trust in the Lord to help them. But I think this is a great way in asking the question of, with our podcast being named Dress in Splendor and how we are ought to be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers. I would love to, you know, have any words of advice from you that you can give to someone, and how, even in the midst of them being tired of trying, maybe they're worn out and struggling right now, what is some advice that you would give to them and how they can be dressed in splendor even in this situation that they're in?
Yeah, that's so good. I think holding on to the truth that you're made for more than this situation. And that fight sometimes looks like, maybe it's you're dressed in the splendor of the armor that you've forgotten to put on.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we are not guarding ourselves in those seasons, and it's so hard, and because we feel weak. But what I like to think about is that you might be tired of trying, but if you're listening to this podcast, if you read one sentence of that book, mm-hmm. it means you're not done. Mm-hmm. You might be tired, but you're not done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. I feel like we're probably very similar in our souls, but we're a little bit of a fighter.
Yeah.
And, you know, no enemy, you're not going to have your way. And we're going to make you pay. Think you're going to destroy me in this? I'm going to use all the rest of my days to make you regret ever messing with me. And I think that is who we are. When you talk about being dressed in splendor, that God's already ordained that for us. It is already legally ours because of who he is and what he has done for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so as we trust him through that, we have that already. Now we just need to stand up and walk in it. So yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I think it's funny that you mentioned of like just talking back to Satan like that, because I do that. And I tell other people that. It's like, you got to tell the enemy to leave. Like, just, you know, with people who maybe have trouble sleeping, like, you tell him to go away and ask God to come in his place, you know? It's even like fighting is as simple as that sometimes, of just saying, no, leave, enemy, Jesus, come. So, oh man, I think that your book is going to be such a blessing for so many. It's it came out on August 1st. And so for those of you who want to buy it, where can they purchase this book?
Yeah, so it's available where most books are sold, but if you want just a one-stop shop, you can just come to my website at ashleymorganjackson.com, and I'll have a link to all of the places where you can get it there.
Great. Yep, it'll be in our show notes, and we'll include also your Instagram handle where people can follow you. Where would that be?
At ashley.morgan.jackson.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for joining this show. It was such a pleasure to talk with you about your book.
It's such an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Ashley is just the best, isn't she? Oh my gosh, if I could share with you just a crazy process that I took to record this podcast, you would know that she is just the most patient, kindest person that ever walked the planet. Which, if you need any more reason to purchase her book, take my word for it. That is definitely one of them. I could not recommend this book enough for you, and I truly believe that it will help encourage a lot of other women who just felt as tired of trying in their faith as Ashley once was. Go to our show notes and find where you can follow Ashley and buy her book, and make sure to share this episode with someone you think might be encouraged from listening to this conversation.
Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And for those who already have, thank you so much. I was just on Spotify today to look at my show when I was showing this to my niece about what I do. And I saw that there were 5 people who reviewed and rated this podcast on there. And so thank you for everyone who did that. I know that seems so small, but it is such a huge deal to me. So thank you so much for that. Please continue doing that. Please share this with people you think would be encouraged. And also follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging content and other things, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.